All right, if you were to ask me, what does a dead church look like in 2024? My answer to you may surprise you. Let's talk about that today.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. It is Monday, March 11th. I want to welcome everybody to the broadcast, all of our regular viewers. We welcome you, you guys on Apple and Spotify, you guys on YouTube, Rumble, wherever you may be watching. We want to welcome you to the broadcast. And if you're new, we want to welcome you. Let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. Again, I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. And real quick, before we get started, guys, do me a favor and smash that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification so that you can keep up to date with everything that we put out there. Also, it helps push this out for others to be able to see it and be able to be a part of the broadcast as well. And of course, if you've not downloaded our free app, we want to encourage you to go do that today. You can find this on your Apple store, your Android store, whatever works for you, whatever device you have. Just go to there, the Play Store. Again, if you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, just type in End Time Headlines. Look for our official trademark ETH logo right there on your screen. If you're watching visual, you can download it today. If you're watching the visual of this, you can get it in the description of this video. It says download our free app. Just click on that link and you'll get it. And then, of course, hit yes to push notifications and you're going to be squared away and good to go. So as I said in the beginning of this broadcast, if I were to ask you, if you and I were having a conversation and you were to ask me, rather, not if I were to ask you, but if you were to ask me, what does a dead church look like today? Now, I could give you this answer, that answer, maybe probably what you would expect me to tell you. But I propose to you today that a dead church, in my opinion, of today in 2024 is going to probably look a lot different than what you may in your mind conceive to be a dead church. Now, we think in a visual of our mind, a dead church is an empty church. Perhaps it's run down. It has nobody. Maybe it's got a handful of people in it. The preacher gets up and on a Sunday morning and there's maybe 10 people in the church or maybe 6 people. Sometimes they might have 25 on an Easter or Christmas. But in the church is just falling apart. They're barely holding their head above water. And you may say, well, that to me is a dead church. Well, I want to propose to you today that what if the enemy has had a skillful method wherein which he has infiltrated the church over the past decade or so, and he's turned the original blueprint of what the church looks like and what it's supposed to look like and how it's supposed to function and operate as an ecclesia and transformed it into a three-ring circus. It's full of entertainment. It's full of enticement. It's full of props. It's full of all kinds of extra things that the leadership, the pastor, the shepherd, the deacons, the associate pastors, everyone on staff, everyone on board has conjured up in a back room somewhere in a boardroom, and they've all come together and they've had this notion that in order for us to thrive and in order for us to grow and in order for us to survive in 2024, we're going to have to model our church after every other church that participates in these things. Now you say, well, what does that look like? Well, I'm glad you asked because we're going to take you there and show you that. But I want to give you some scripture because, of course, we all love scripture. We want to back this up with the word of God. So I want to go to Revelation chapter 3. And before we pull this up on the screen, Revelation chapter 3 is where John the Revelator is given a revelation of the Lord, wherein which he sees 7 churches of Asia Minor. Now, these 7 churches that are mentioned existed in John's day, but many biblical scholars say that the interpretations of these visions that was given to John to speak over these churches, because it's the Lord himself commending and rebuking these seven churches of Asia. And many scholars believe not only was this applicable to those churches of his day, of John's day in Asia Minor, but they were also prophetic pictures of seven church ages that would come and go. For example, if I were to ask you, of all the seven churches that are mentioned in Revelation, chapter 3, what church age are we in here in 2024? If you were to ask me that, I would tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, I believe that we're in the Laodicea church age, where in which the Lord rebukes this church and tells them that they're lukewarm. He tells them that they say, their profession out of their mouth is that they're rich, they're wealthy, and they don't need anything. But the Lord says, just because you have an outward expression of what you call prosperity and wealth and riches, John pins this down, the Lord speaking through him, says that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Okay, so I believe that's where we are as far as if we were to say, prophetically speaking, what church age are we in? I believe we're in that Laodicea church age where we're full of lukewarmness. We parade our prosperity. I mean, you know, the prosperity gospel, which in itself is nothing new. This has been going on for at least 25 years I know of. It probably started, I'd say, in the early 2000s is when that stuff started creeping in. And then it really peaked probably in the mid 2000s. And it just kind of held steady. But there's kind of a decline on this as far as people waking up in the church and the body of Christ to know where we are and what that false doctrine is promoting. But it's still prevalent. It's still out there. Christian television is still full of these people. Okay? But that's not really what I want to talk about today. When you get one of these churches, one of these seven churches is the Church of Sardis. Now, this is in Revelation chapter 3 for you guys that are watching and you're listening by Apple, by Spotify. I want to pull this up here. Again, I'm in Revelation chapter 3, and look what it says here. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive. Now listen to this carefully. You have a name that you are alive. You have a catchy name. You have a great you have a slogan, you have a trademark, you have a catchy theme, you have social media presence, you have a platform, you promote that you're alive, your church is alive, it's thriving, it's catchy, you've got all the bells and whistles and everything that attracts people. But look what he says here, though you have a name that you're alive, he says, but you are dead. Is that not what it says here? You are dead. Now think about, how would you like to be a church that on a business model, you're doing all the right things, the promotions, the advertising, the marketing department's hitting on point, the social media presence on point. And watch this, you have hired the best there is, the best minds. You've invested all kinds of money in all the theatrics, the programs, all of that stuff. And it's attracting people. But watch this. Is it transforming people? Let me say that one more time. You've got all the bells and whistles, the theatrics, the programs. It's polished. It's got a catchy name. It says it's alive. It's thriving. And watch this. And it's attracting the masses. But is it, here's the question, is it transforming the masses? So I want to step out and say this for a second. Is it possible that in this last church age, because you realize that we, eventually have to end this current church age. The church age will come to an end. It will cease. This is called the end of the age. And then we will transition into the tribulation period. Is it possible that as we enter this, at the end of this church age, that we now have churches that many perceive to be alive and thriving, and they have everything going for them? After all, they got the best people, they got the best looking people, they got the best staff, they've got all the sound systems on point, the stage presentation, all the lights, the camera work, the media presence, the social media presence. They've got it all on point. And I'm telling you, they've got the name that you're like, man, I wish I would have thought of that name. They've got this trademarked, everything. And it's like promoted. It's in your face. But then, watch this. But someone, oh, now I'm gonna talk to the remnant that's out there listening to me. But someone who is full of the Holy Spirit of God, who's walking with God, who's talking with God, who's communion with God, who's in the Word of God, they go and they step foot in one of these churches. And the one, now they've got all this, but the one thing and the main thing that they have absent from the church is the very presence of God. And if they don't have the presence of God, they don't have the anointing of God. And if they don't have the anointing of God, which requires the anointing to break the yoke, then that means that nobody's getting set free, nobody's getting delivered, nobody's getting healed, nobody's getting saved. Come on, they're just going through the motions and filling seats with warm hind ends and getting the money flow going in from the head down. And again, instead of going out, they're building their empires up. Do I have anybody that's experienced this? Is it possible today? I believe the answer is yes. I believe the days of what we perceive to be a dead church, where in which it's empty and there's no one there, cannot be the ultimate portrayal or personification of a dead church. James said, without the Spirit, the body is dead. Now, I know he was talking about the physical body, but I'm talking spiritual here. If you don't have the Spirit of God, honey, operating in your church as the main thread, the main vein that's running through the course of the blood flowing through the body of Christ, if the Holy Spirit's not in it and he's not present, then you are going through the motions and you are a body without a spirit. And James said it is dead. You're literally, your church can be the walking dead. Oh yeah, you're upright. Yeah, you're moving around. Yeah, you're making a presentation. Yeah, you're known in the community. Yeah, you've got all the things, the bells and whistles and the theatrics and the attractions. But come on, is people getting transformed by the presence of God? Do I got anybody in the chat room that can, come on, that can bear witness with me? Is there anybody on Apple and Spotify that has maybe stumbled into one of these churches? You got a family member in one of these churches, you've got a coworker, you've got a friend, maybe you've went and visited. Listen, I've been a fly on the wall in many of these churches, and I went one time and never went back. Come on, I'm talking about churches that if you could see in the spirit, it would have there would be a name over the doorpost and it would say Ichabod, come on, which means the glory of the Lord has departed. Listen, the Apostle Paul said it like this. He told Timothy, which was a young pastor in training, Paul was pouring out into Timothy. He was passing the baton down to Timothy, and he told Timothy, and he warned Timothy in his second epistle of Timothy, the second letter of Timothy, chapter 3. He said, Timothy, know this, in the last days, that there will be people that will have a form of godliness, but they will deny the very power of the Holy Ghost. So I want to recap this real quick before we get into some headlines. If we have a form of godliness and we deny the power, if the presence of God is not in our church, the Spirit of God's not operating in our church, you know what that leaves us with? That leaves us with our own power and working in our own strength and building our own empires. This, come on, this is why the Lord spoke. And he said that the church of Sardis is going to be a church, come on, that has a name that it's alive, but it is dead. Now, Pastor David Jeremiah, let me pull this up here. This was back in 2019. So this was over 5 years ago. Again, this is nothing new. This is not something that just came up in this past year. This has been going on for a while, but it's getting worse. It's waxing worse. Why is it getting worse? Because, again, we're losing the presence of God. We're losing the fear of God. We're losing the necessity for a move of God. We no longer need these things because, come on, we have built our own empires. And we've made this a money-making machine. Again, just to fill pews up with people and the efforts to funnel in money and build empires of who can be bigger, who can be better, who can be more prestigious, who can be more influential. Pastor David Jeremiah warns that the modern church is entertainment-driven social organization afraid of controversy. Pastor David Jeremiah said, quote, many U.S. churches today have forgotten their purpose. They have become entertainment-driven social organizations eager to blend in, listen to this, with secular culture instead of focusing on biblical discipleship. Listen, whether you're a fan of David Jeremiah or not, what he said right there, if you don't agree with that, friend, then I believe that you already become a reed that's been shaken by the wind of culture. Because I 100% agree with Pastor David Jeremiah and what he said right here. Quote, the church is becoming under attack. It's forgotten what the church is supposed to be. He went on to say that, quote, we're not an entertainment service. We're not here to see how close we can get to what the world does. But there's so much of the world in the church and vice versa that we cannot tell a difference. True. And it, again, this was in 2019, guys. It's far worse today. And we're going to show you examples of that. We have to hold the truth. Come on, amen. We have to get nourished. If it's not happening, you're a social organization and not a church. Boom. The guy nailed it. There's an incredible motivation on the part of everyone to be successful. And a lot of times people program their churches to see how many people will sit in the pews on a Sunday. He went on to say there's nothing wrong with getting people there as long as you share the gospel, but there's no glory in just a number. Quote, don't worship at the attendance altar. A lot of good things happen in churches when there are not huge numbers, but the pastor has prepared a good message and there's worship. Come on, how many's been there? Oh, come on, somebody. That's what I cut my teeth on. I cut my teeth on the old school, come on, going into a church, no fog machines, no theatrics, no light show, no sound stage presence, all that stuff. I'm talking about, I remember coming to the house of God and there'd be about 30 people in a small country church who was all in one mind and one accord, who was hungry, who had been in the word, who had been praying, who had been fasting, and who were coming together in agreement to seek the face of God. And I'm telling you, week after week after week, we would experience a move of God. I'm talking about you come in at 10:30 and it would be 2 hours later and you're pulling yourself up off the floor because during worship the presence of God has come in like a tidal wave and swept through that place. And I'm telling you, no one had to give an altar call because sinners was running to the altar, not because they were manipulated or their arms were twisted or they were persuaded or there was a raffle or a giveaway or trip to Disney World for them to come up and give their heart to the Lord. There was none of that stuff to persuade them. Come on. The presence of God was there and Jesus was there. And he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Do I have anybody out there that can relate to me and to what I'm telling you today? Has it been that long? Friends, my heart breaks for anyone that's watching or listening today that is probably my son's age, which is 15 going on 16, because even in some of the powerful services that he's been in a part of and his 15 going on 16 years of life, I've yet to see him encounter what I encountered and what I experienced when I got saved over 24 years ago. It's just, I just don't see it. I'm not, now look at me and listen to me. I'm not saying it's not happening in your church. I'm not saying that it's not happening in any church. What I am telling you is that it's becoming far and few between with churches that don't have these motivations and these motives that drives them to what Pastor David Jeremiah is saying here, which is this motive to get people to fill the church and entertain them, but yet is, watch this, a body of believers that is just hungry for a genuine move of God that will change them and wreck them, and they will never be the same again. That's what I'm trying to tell you today. He goes on to say, we get off on this thing that we have to be bigger than the guy down the street and how to get more people in the building. When you're focused on that, quote, you'll never preach anything that's controversial. Boom. And you'll always be trying to figure out how to get more people to come. On that note, I'm going to say that one more time, and then we're going to go into some, I'm going to show you some stuff here. When you're focused on trying to be the bigger and better pastor, the bigger and better church than the other guy down the street, you'll never preach anything that's controversial. Why do you think we've lost the preaching of repentance? Why do you think we've lost the preaching of the cross, the blood, sin, any of these things? We don't see that anymore. Because, this seeker-sensitive, seeker-friendly movement has burrowed its roots deep into our church culture, and it is the predominant vein of the church today. He says that when you're constantly in that mindset, you'll always be trying to figure out how to get more people to come into the church. On that note, in case you've not been paying attention, I'm going to give to you up to par what we're talking about today. Has anyone noticed the extreme measures that these so-called pastors are going to do this very thing? For example, here's an article. Here's a report. Perry Noble bench presses 400 pounds, quote, to illustrate God's power plus God's people and fight against worry. According to the report, this Perry Noble, who is a senior pastor of Second Chance Church in Anderson, South Carolina, here's the picture of it. He pulls out a bench, pulls out a weight bar. He pulls out 400 pounds in weights. He's got spotters. He's got all this stuff out here. And again, you may be listening to this and say, well, Brother Ricky, I don't really see anything wrong with this. It's just a illustrated sermon. Again, guys, I'm not against illustrated sermons to a degree. Jesus, I get it. Jesus used illustrations when he preached the gospel. He did. Just read it in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I don't have nothing against illustration, but how far are we going to take a, quote, illustrated sermon? How far are we going to take an illustrated message until it gets to the point where it goes too far? For example, most of you guys know this by now. Here's a church in Ohio during Super Bowl that said, hey, I know how we can get more people in the church. I know how we can be hip and cool and cutting edge. Here's a great idea that they conjured up in the meeting room. Ready? We're going to put a Bible in a case that's going to look like a football. Look at your screen. It's going to look like a football. After all, it's going to be Super Bowl Sunday, so we can use this as our theme. We can use this as our illustrated sermon. So, what was the illustrated sermon and where in which they felt that everyone needed to be having a jersey? They dressed the entire pulpit, the platform, the stadium, everything looked like a football field. And then they made the Bible into a football, basically a football cover.
Let's just go with tails. Would you like to kick or receive the Bible?
I will receive.
Would you like to kick or receive the Bible? Really? Let's keep watching.
Toss chooses to receive the Bible. Patterson back with the kick.
Again, this is the Word of God. This is the Bible. This, Again, guys, this is so grossly disrespectful to the Word of God. And I know, as Westerners and Americans, we don't understand that. We can go online, we can go on Amazon, we can go to the Christian bookstore where there's one still in your area. You can go to Walmart, you can go to a Dollar General, you can pick up a $10 Bible, a $5 Bible. You can get Bibles anytime you want, and it's easy, it's convenient. But you go overseas, go to places like China, go to places like North Korea where it's banned. And they have underground churches, Saudi Arabia, that you can't have an open Bible out or the Word of God, or you'll receive real persecution. And these people, when they get a Bible into their hands for the first time, they are crying, they are weeping, and they cherish the almighty Word of God. But yet, here we go, here in America, this is how we treat the Word of God.
Oh my God! Is that a touchback? Can you get a touchback?
First time in 18 years there's a touchback for the kickoff.
So could you imagine? I'm just going to tell you, friend, and again, I don't really care. You could call me old-fashioned, a dinosaur, out of touch, whatever you want to call it. But if I wouldn't even got that far with it. If I saw all that nonsense going on, I would have been out the door. And if I stayed up to that point, I definitely would have been out the door. But yeah, again, these people love it. We've got the best church. We love it. I don't see nothing wrong with it. And again, that's a problem. If you don't see anything wrong with this, that's a problem, friend. That's a real problem. Oh, and then we have Pastor Michael Todd, who found it. Necessary. After all, this is an illustrated sermon. He decided to get his hair cut and a shave while he was preaching a sermon on a Sunday morning during a Sunday morning or whatever. It was a church service. Again, unbelievable. Now, why did he do this? Quote, to demonstrate to his congregation how submitting themselves to being shaped by God leads to the bearing of godly fruits in their lives. I mean, you couldn't just preach that, right? You had to get a haircut and get a shave on stage. Again, this is so bizarre and weird. And then you got this stuff that went on, and this was in my neck of the woods. Viral church video causes controversy in Metro Atlanta. What was the controversy? Well, let's read on down here. Bishop William Murphy of the D. Ream Center Church of Atlanta played two secular rap songs during the New Year's Eve service. Quote, there's a church that gets me, which was the whole point of the ministry, Murphy told Channel 2's Audrey Washington. The video showed people dancing to a song. Again, I have no clue who this is. Don't know the song. Couldn't tell you what it is. Don't know the lyrics. But it was called Walk It Out by rapper UNK and Swag Surfing by Fast Life Youngsters. Again, Murphy said he played the song as a reference to the book of Acts chapter 3 in the Bible. And he even referenced it. This is unbelievable. Ready? In that chapter, a lame man gets help to get up and walk. So a lame man gets pulled up by Peter and John at the gate called Beautiful, gets healed and delivered. And this pastor says, yeah, well, we're playing secular rap music. Have you listened to secular rap music? Do you realize what is usually entails in the lyrics? It's probably not something you should be listening to, number one. And number two, I would definitely not bring that into the house of God. But hey, it's referenced to Acts chapter 3. Quote, we were talking about 2024 being the best year of your life so far, but there was a responsibility to watch the prophet and then to work the prophecy, and the will of God was to, quote, walk it out. He went on to say, and that's why you saw people with their arms around each other. It was come what may when walking this thing out together. We have a video clip on this too. Here is the pastor responding to the backlash. You know, from people who actually know their Bible, know the Word, walking with God, and thought this was ridiculous. So they spoke out against it. So this is the response of the pastor. Here it is. Check it out.
song that was played with certain lyrics that had referenced alcohol or smoking that played in the church. And some people wondered, why were those lyrics included in this portion in that celebration?
Well, the first thing I want to say to you is we did use the clean version. And I was actually preaching out of Acts chapter 3.
The clean version. In other words, translation, we took a turd. It smells like a turd, looks like a turd, but we polished it up, put a little bit of cologne on it. And now, you know, it smells good. Doesn't, you know, it's still a turd, but it's just polished up and it smells good. It's the clean version. Okay.
From day one, we've been fusing what some would consider to be secular songs into the sacred space because.
Okay. And that's not a problem. Wow. Because what?
Because my conviction is that what's happening in the streets needs to be at the forefront of what we're talking about in the sanctuary.
But we don't need to bring it into the sanctuary. Okay, so if the what's out there is crack cocaine, prostitution, meth, homosexuality, lawlessness, stealing, smoking weed, smoking dope. If that's out there, what are we? So in order for us to reach the people in the church, are we going to have to incorporate that into the church? Are we going to bring that into the church? Wow, guys. Wow. Let me tell you what Charles Spurgeon said about this stuff. Yes, Charles Spurgeon, this stuff was going on even in his time, in its infancy, this stuff was going on. Nowhere like it is today. And the reason why this thing has matured to the point it has, and the reason why it is festered to this point and grown like this, is because nobody destroyed this thing in its infancy. No one destroyed this thing in its seed form, but allowed it to germinate and allowed it to grow and allowed it to spread its roots and come on and grow its branches. And now we're eating of the fruit of it in the church. So let me tell you what Spurgeon says. Spurgeon notes how one church put on a series of services focusing on special plays, concerts, recreational events, including rousing games of musical chairs. He laments that this is to go on side by side with the preaching of thy bleeding sacrifice, O Christ of God. Quote, if our mission is to urgently call sinners to repentance, to speak of the realities of heaven and hell, come on, what he just said right there. This proves how far we've come. Let me read that again. If our mission, in case you forgot what the mission of the church is to call sinners to repentance and to come on, tell them realities of heaven and hell. That line right there has diminished greatly in the church. The message of repentance and the realities of heaven and hell. You know how many people, listen, we can do a poll. I can do a poll on End Time Headlines on our Facebook page, YouTube channel, whatever. There is people even in this chat, I believe, that they may not say it right away, but they question heaven and hell. They will say that we don't need the message of repentance. But Spurgeon says, if our mission is to do this, and he goes on and says, and to lift up the spirits of the shamed and downcast with the grace of Christ crucified, can we do all this while playing musical chairs? Now, again, musical chairs was the entertainment of his day. Boy, could you imagine what Spurgeon would say about what we're seeing? Could you imagine Spurgeon being the guest evangelist at that church where they punted the Bible like a football, or the pastor got up and got his beard shaved and a haircut? Or the pastor allowing secular music that's filled with alcohol, promiscuity, and all kinds of swearing and nonsense to come into the church and call it a move of God like the book of Acts. Could you imagine what Spurgeon and what Finney and what Wesley and what the apostle Paul and what Jesus Christ himself would say about this stuff? Well, the answer is yes, and he's already has. I just told you at the beginning of this, Revelation. You say you're rich, but you're not. You're lukewarm. You say you're alive, but you're dead. You're a church that has a form of godliness, but you deny the very power of the Holy Ghost. He goes on to say, the greater the push towards entertainment and amusement the lesser, the imperative of the gospel will truly be felt as imperative. Guys, that is so good right there. The greater push towards entertainment and amusement in the body of Christ, the lesser the imperative of the gospel will truly be felt as imperative. If you make people, oh, come on. If you make people feel comfortable in entertainment and amusement, they have no need nor necessity to repent, to come to the cross, to come to salvation. Spurgeon went on to say, by the solemnities of death and judgment and eternity, I beseech you, keep yourselves clear of the follies, the entities of the day. He went on to say that not only are frivolity and the gospel incompatible, one will eventually destroy the other. No one can serve two masters, and neither can a church pursue both silly amusements and true gospel preaching. At some point, either the church will allow the seriousness of the preaching of the gospel to win the day, or the church will choose entertainment of its customers as its ultimate pursuit. Boom, drop the mic. Tell me we're not there today, friend. When the latter choice is made, the urgent gospel of salvation from judgment will no longer be allowed to threaten the good vibes of the entertaining church. In other words, come on, we're going to have to make a choice today. Churches are going to have to choose between entertaining the sheep, come on, or equipping the sheep. Which are we going to do? He went on to warn that the preaching of Christ usually ceases when these frivolities come in. Oh, let me say that again. The preaching of Christ usually ceases when these frivolities come in. You bring all this nonsense in and the preaching of the cross goes. The preaching of the blood goes. The preaching of repentance goes. The preaching of a need of a Savior goes. Sanctification, holiness, righteousness, all these things are tossed to the wayside, no longer needed. These things are so opposed in spirit that one or the other will have to be dropped, and we know which it will be. All right, since that bishop, the one in Atlanta that said, well, you know, we're going to bring in the secular music because this is all reference. We're going to illustrate this in Acts chapter 3. Let me go to the book of Acts and let's just show you what was preached in the days of book of Acts and what it produced, shall we? So when you go to the book of Acts chapter 2, you have the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. People are being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Peter stands up. And he testifies and exhorts them, and he says in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, be saved from this perverse generation. And the Bible says those who gladly received his words were baptized, and 3,000 souls were added to that day. Now notice, 3,000 people were added in a day, and it didn't come through a Super Bowl party. It didn't come through Peter getting a fresh shave, come on, in front of everybody and his haircut. It didn't come through Peter taking, come on, some of the idolatrous things that were going on in his day and bringing it into the church, bringing it into the house of God, bringing it into the ecclesia. He didn't conform to the world. No, he preached, repent and turn from this perverse and wicked generation and be filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized. And 3,000 souls came forward that day. The Bible goes on to say that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayers. And look, I want to pull this up, guys. This is in Acts chapter 2. I want to show you what this says here. Again, look what it says here. As a result of this, Acts 2:43, then fear came upon every soul. Come on, where can I ask you a question today? Where is the fear of God in the house today? There is none. There's no fear of the Lord in the house of God today. Why? Because we're going through the motions. We're just going through programs. We're just going through entertainment. The Lord is on the, come on, outside of the door, knocking on the door saying, let me in. But we don't even recognize that Jesus is not in the midst of us. We don't recognize the Holy Spirit's not even in the midst of us. Why? Because we've become so accustomed to church without the Spirit that we're now a dead body that's going through the motions. We're literally a corpse. We're just walking around, arms and legs of the body of Christ, but there's no soul in, come on, there's no spirit in it. There's no life force in the body of Christ. So, friend, here's my challenge to you today. Listen, for God's sake, if you're going to a church that has been identified through the preaching of this message today, you've heard this message, you've heard this word today, and you say, my goodness, this absolutely personifies the church that I'm currently attending. My friend, you need to get up, get out, and get away from this church. You are going to die spiritually. I'm not talking about if the pastor gets up and he's preaching out of the book of John, he talks about I'm the vine and your branches, and he brings up a tree and he starts breaking off the branches up. We're not talking about that. There's nothing wrong. Again, Jesus used illustrations when he preached. But when you get into this nonsense of kicking the Bible as a football off the stage, you're bringing secular music in that is inspired and driven by demons, and you're bringing that into the house of God. This has gone way too far. We've crossed the line. And again, this is what I'm talking about today. So if you're listening to this today and you can relate to this, either you're attending this church, you have family members in church, please share this with them. Let them know. Come on. They don't need all that stuff. What you need. Come on. Can we get back to the blueprints of the Bible? Can we get back to the preaching like the early church apostles preach? Can we get back to the preaching of the early church fathers and how they preach? Can we get back to the message of the true message, the true mission of the gospel, which is to preach the gospel, the good news to every creature, every living creature, and urge them to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sins? Can we get back to that? Can we still warn a generation that there is a heaven waiting and that there's a hell that awaits them if they reject the gospel? Can we get back to that? Can we continue to get back? Can we get back to equipping the saints about sanctification, holiness, and righteousness, and setting ourselves apart from the world and not being a part of this world? Can anybody, come on, relate to this and get back to this? Because I believe that if you want Bible results, you got to do things the Bible way. And if we get back without, come on, with, and let me use one example, and you've heard me preach this, without repentance, there is no refreshing. Acts chapter 3, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Again, if there's no repentance, there's no times of refreshing. And if there's no time for refreshing, then carnal things begin to happen. People begin to compromise. They go into a state of lukewarm living. And if they go into a state of compromise and lukewarm living, they fulfill 1 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul warned and said in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith and they will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So friend, come on, this is a wake up call for somebody and anybody out there that the shoe fits. So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be where you can find us, our landing page. Again, if you've not downloaded our free app, I want to encourage you today to swing by, get that today. You can pick it up right there in the description of this video. There's a link to get it. Go to your Apple store, go to your Android, Google Play Store, get it today, download it, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go. And of course, guys, if this message, again, it blesses you, this ministry blesses you, it equips you, it informs you, it encourages you week after week after week, we want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner of our ministry. Again, everything is free to you guys. Our messages are free. The app's free. Everything is a blessing to you guys. All we're doing as asking that you would prayerfully ask the Holy Spirit what you should do, what you can do. And as you bless others, as you bless this ministry, as you sow, Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given back unto you, good measured, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And with the same measure that you give, it shall be given back unto you. And if that's you and you want to help partner with us, there's two different ways you can do that. You can give electronically right there on your screen through the app or through the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, or you can get by check or money order right there on your screen. You can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So guys, listen, we're changing up. We're at the second week of the month. Many of you guys know what that means. That means tomorrow, typically we do Monday, Tuesday, we're off Wednesday, we do Thursday, Friday. tomorrow we will be off because this week on Thursday night, we're going to be with Bishop Larry Ragland. So we'll be taping tomorrow for the segment for Thursday. So Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, we'll be End Time Headlines. We'll be on The Big Picture. We're going to do a program with him that we always do with Bishop Larry Ragland on the second week of every month. So we're looking forward to getting into the studio with Bishop again, as always, on the second week of every month. So we'll be doing that this week. So again, we'll be off tomorrow, Tuesday, March 12th. And then we'll be back here Wednesday, March 13th. We'll be on here on Thursday and Friday, Lord willing. So again, we'll be right back. We'll be off tomorrow. Be back Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So until then, I pray that the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you in a couple days.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.